Well, I must say this is not I consider a difficult location to do a record. we are in the barn here, and you can hear the breeze coming through, and it's just beautiful out here this afternoon. And it must have been the most laid back way to do a record. No, you know, pressure of deadline, just to complete focus on the music.
Yeah, and admittedly, some focus on some food. As well,
yeah.
Because Doug's mom, who is an amazing chef, came and provided the food for the whole recording session. So we were pretty spoiled.
But yeah, we I think we had blocked off a week to do it, and then we got here and started recording, and it took us 2 days. Because when we're done, when you're done, you're done. I mean, there was nothing else we could do. We didn't have, we were talking about it earlier, we didn't have options to listen back to anything. We didn't have options to overdub. We didn't have options to just keep wearing the songs out. So we just sat around in the circle, played a song, moved to the next one, had a little moonshine. When it got too hot in the afternoon, because it was about 10 degrees cooler last year this week.
No, 10 degrees hotter. Water, yeah.
So when it got too hot in the middle of the afternoon, we just decided we needed to stop. We took a break. We went down to the railroad tracks at the bottom of the hill and got in the creek and swam around in the creek for a while and just played around down there and went for a walk and came back up and had a great big meal. And after it got dark, we came back in the shed and lit the candles and finished up the last song, and that was it.
So at the end of this, what did it take to chase these people away?
Well, Fats has already been back to Galax since the recording. He and his wife Christy Rose came back for a weekend.
Fats has a key.
We had a leisurely move out the next morning. Doug's mom fixed a wonderful breakfast, and it was nobody was in a hurry to get away from the farm.
No. We did come back in November. We were just sitting around talking about it, and Fats wanted to come back, and I wanted to come back, and Nilsson wanted to come back, and we called Snake and Kyle Dean and asked what they were up to, and so we came back, and instead of coming here to the farm, we stayed here at the farm, but we went over to Snake's house and went down in the basement, and he had brought some other folks over, and we just sat around and had a jam, which was a lot of fun, too. I mean, it's a six-hour drive for a jam, but it was a good jam.
It was a worthy jam, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, you guys started off in high school together, playing together, right?
We started off playing music in a rock and roll cover band in high school, Martinsville High School.
Yeah. And then started out seriously pursuing a music career in, what, about 2005, somewhere around there?
Yeah, I think
that sounds
we quit
right.
Our day jobs in 2005 or 6.
Yeah, that sounds right, yeah.
And got into a beat-up RV and took off.
Well, it wasn't beat up when we got it.
I think we beat it up.
They weren't built for us.
And you just took off and started doing this. What type of chutzpah does that take to hit the road and just try to get bookings and just do it?
Well, I don't know. We knew it was what we wanted to do. We weren't going to do anything else. I wasn't going to do anything else.
There was no way. I think people have a misconception that there is a way to you know,
slide into
doing this. And you can play music however often and in whatever capacity you want. But if you want to make a living doing this, you just have to do it.
You just have to do it.
But then several years on the road with that, and your first record you got in and really put together a record and put it out was with Ray Kennedy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that was Things That Used to Shine.
That was the first Wild Ponies record. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He scared you half to death, didn't he?
Ray was so fun to work with. Ray and I have a similar type of ADD. And
yes,
we would
go
down some rabbit holes. You got to be careful in the studio with Ray. If you come up with a crazy, wild, wacky, insane idea, if you say it out loud, you're going to have to at least chase it down and try it. Like, no matter what it is.
For
you know?
Instance, we made this whole Galax record in 2 days.
Yeah.
We spent a good day and a half in the studio with Ray trying to find the right percussion sound for the song Iris.
That's true.
Which we decided after a day and a half of trying to not have percussion on Iris at all. So
we tried. We brought in rocking chairs. We brought in rocks out of the parking lot.
We brought in boots that we scuffed on the floor.
We just couldn't get the right sound. No. But we tried everything, and it was fun. Like, that was the thing I loved about working with Ray. Is it was just fun, you know. We spent one entire day. One channel on his board. One of the faders was like a quarter decibel hotter than the rest of them, and so we took the whole thing apart, me and Ray, and put it back together. You know, trying to chase that down.
I wish y'all could see how wide my eyes are at the moment.
Talisha would leave and come back, but it was so fun. I love working with Ray.
I would go do marathon training runs while y'all.
But truthfully, I learned a lot from so much about just studio compressors and gear and microphones and placement and selection. And it, you know, Ray could tell I was into it and curious. And so we just spent a lot of and there's nobody better than Ray. I mean, like, when it comes to knowing weird things about weird things, from switchblade knives to compressors to cameras to belt buckles to BMW motorcycles to, you know, the preamps that he bought from Abbey Road Studios. Ray knows everything about all that weird stuff.
And we wouldn't have made Galax the record without having that experience, I think. Both that experience of recording with Ray and the songs that we wrote for that record and the touring that we did with that record, like, it's all woven itself into who we are now. And
he taught us a lot about music too and songwriting. I love Ray.
And you both have CDO, which is OCD, but in alphabetical order.
Yeah.
The way it's supposed to be.
That's funny.
Good. Stealing that.
But
one.
He's worked with so many great artists too. And oh my God, I'll tell you the story. You can leave it in or not. The first day we were to meet Ray, we'd been introduced on the phone. We'd been talking on email, and he was into what we were going to do. And he told us. So we come in, and he doesn't answer the door of the studio. We knock. He says, "Just come on in." So we come on in, and we walk in. And he's like, "You guys got to come listen to this. You're not going to believe what I just found." And this is a meeting, Ray, right now. And I'm already a little nervous about the whole situation. And he holds up this little cassette tape. He says, "Look, I'm going to pop this in. This is the original mixes of Car Wheels on a Gravel Road. It's a little different from the ones that Lucinda finally put out, but I think these are just as good."
Yeah, that would be a bit intimidating.
It was intimidating. Yeah. But it was fun, you know. It was pretty cool.
And then the second record, Radiant. So this is your third record. And as I think I mentioned to you before, that most artists take 20 years to decide they need to get back to your roots. It only took you, you know, three major records to do that. And it's the third one to how does that work?
I don't think we ever got very far from our roots so maybe we didn't have to.
Yeah, we discovered that we're like the opposite of the Avett brothers, you know. they're playing rock and roll music on acoustic instruments, and we're playing old time music on electric guitars and bass. We didn't really know that. We kind of figured it out. We started looking back at our old songs and realized that they're mostly old time songs, you know, even though they sound like rock and roll.
Yeah, we write sort of in an AB form, which is an old time form, and we didn't. It's not really intentional. It's just
we're not afraid of 7/8 time signature, you know,
or
we're not
crooked,
afraid of crooked tunes, whatever.
Yeah,
and we didn't really realize that. And I'm not saying that the next record's not going to be a rock and roll record again. It's fun to kind of bounce around and play in different styles, but I think we've always had a bit of an old time edge. And old time is dark. Old time is fun. You know, it's what really has always appealed to me and Talisha.
We love a good murder ballad. It's where it's at.
And we're talking about Ray Kennedy. You know, Steve Earle has done that in his career. Like, he's somebody that we sort of modeled our career after. He's got these amazing rock and roll records and these amazing singer-songwriter and guitar records. And I think one of the best bluegrass records ever made was the one that he made with Dale McCurry, you know. So he's been able to do that. Not that I'm trying to claim any kind of peership with Steve Earle or whatever, yeah. But he's somebody that we've modeled our career after and tried to sort of look at the way he's done things and respect the way he's done things and try to do that on a smaller scale, I guess.